gardeners. We're back. It's Selena and Karen today.
Hello, gardeners.
And we're in the thick of winter still.
Indeed we are, Selena.
So today's topic, we're going to be talking about feng shui.
Yes, feng shui in the garden.
And for those of you who are not Chinese and not sure what that means, feng means wind, and shui as in the Cantonese say it, means water. And what does that mean for our gardens? Well, I'm of Chinese heritage, and it sort of, when I look in the, because I come into a sort of a Western, well, New Zealand is kind of a Western country, but I argue maybe it's not so, that the wind and water influence our gardening style.
Well, yeah, we're an island.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know anything about feng shui. It does intrigue me. I got a definition on Wikipedia,
okay.
Selena.
Sure.
Feng shui is a pseudoscience originating from ancient China, which claims to use energy forces to harmonise individuals with their surrounding environment. That was the definition I got. Pseudoscience means like it hasn't been properly scientifically backed. It's more of a theory.
I would call it more of a philosophy.
Yeah.
So in China, they have a different landscape to what you'd normally think of as like a flat, you know, featureless.
Mm.
It's kind of, there's so many different microclimates in China.
Mm.
But one of them is they have lots of hills and valleys where the most fertile land is. And, of course, if you think about, like, the rice paddies.
Oh, right.
And they have all these terraces. So that follows the contours of the land.
Ah,
and
okay.
And so feng shui is, like, not exploiting, but working with the land to have the most ideal site for your house, your burial grounds, and then your garden.
Mm. The goal of feng shui is to align a city site or object with the yin-yang force fields is what I got from my research.
Okay.
Does that kind of sound right?
So yin and yang, let's explain about that.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Big topic.
I see you've got the symbol there, Karen.
Mm. Yes. Okay, so yin and yang literally translates as dark and bright or negative to positive. So this ancient Chinese philosophy encompasses the concept of dualism, which, so you've got your, you know,
opposites
yep. there, with the aim to describe the interconnectedness of contrary forces in the natural world. Now, this is pretty, that's the whole idea. In Chinese cosmology, the universe creates itself out of primary chaos of material energy, which is also referred to as qi.
Yes. So.
And the qi is believed to be organized into cycles of yin and yang, and then formed into matter, which includes human beings, or your humble garden. So, basically, it represents forms of change and difference. That's what I got from yin and yang.
Yep, so those two forces need to be in balance.
Mm.
So you'll have your water and then your land. So those are two opposites, like earth and water.
Okay, well, that's interesting, because this is what I got for, I got a few things like that were yang and a few things that were yin. So for me, what I found, the opposite of water was fire. I didn't get wind, but I think wind is associated with fire in those, I don't know, it's quite a complex, my brain was hurting by the end of this one, but it was really interesting. And then, so your yin, your darker side, the black side, so for those of you that don't know the symbol, it's the one where you've got a circle with an S in the middle and half of it's black and half of it's white, and then you've got a dot, a white dot in the black side and a black. So the yin is the black side with the white dot. And the yin is said to be a passive energy compared to yang, which is active. So you've got your yin, winter is considered yin, whereas your summer time, which is the opposite, is considered yang. Water, fire, yin, female is considered yin.
Yes.
Whereas male is considered yang.
Yeah.
So it's quite cool.
It's very complex, but also it can be very simple.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I found that too. I was like, oh, okay, I get that. Right, opposites, yes. And then they started bringing in the five elements.
Yes.
And this is where you can tie it into working with nature in your gardening.
Yes.
Because, of course,
it's all
you don't have
nature, gardening
without the elements, right?
Okay. Okay, I want to talk about Taoism. Is how it's related to feng shui.
Okay, is that spelt with a T?
Yes.
Tao, because when you first said that to me, I thought you were saying Darwinism. And I was like, oh my goodness,
no, that's throwing
a whole other thing. That, oh, what the heck? But it's T-A-O.
Yes.
Tao.
Taoism,
yes.
It depends on how you pronounce it.
Tell us about that, Selena.
It's also ancient Chinese philosophy. There are two complementary systems of thought in China. One's Confucianism, which relates to people and their hierarchy and their relationships. And then there's Taoism, which is about being in harmony with nature and balance. And it is a kind of a nature worship and just allowing nature to take its course and not fighting against it. So that's kind of like the philosophy behind
now
it.
Now I know why my hippie friend is called Taos. Right,
right.
Got it.
Okay.
Always wanted to know that.
Okay, so.
Thank you for explaining.
Karen, so what do you think of these names for gardens? This one, Garden of Peaceful Longevity.
That's a nice, that sounds lovely.
And the Garden of Harmonious Pleasures.
Yes, that sounds kinky. Carry on.
Another one is called the Lodge of the Quiet Heart.
Oh,
so
lovely.
All these are Chinese gardens that the emperors have got made.
The one
names.
With the Lodge of the Quiet Heart, would that be a place where you go to meditate and maybe if you're like grieving or just need that or stressed?
Yes.
When you just feel like you're all over the place.
Exactly.
It would be a great garden for that. Any garden is, really, isn't it?
I kind of think the Chinese gardens have that philosophy or that value a lot more than Western gardens.
Mm.
It's more of a quiet place where you sip tea and maybe recite some poetry and stroll around. Whereas
they often have water features, there's a beautiful sound of water in the background and wind chimes.
Yeah,
like
so Western gardens tend to be like straight up and down. They're very symmetrical and measured.
Oh,
and
they're clearly not like ours. We're clearly not very westernised.
No.
Because nature doesn't work in straight lines, right? So I guess like you were saying before, like with the valleys and the streams
water,
and all that. Yeah,
water flows on, it doesn't go in a straight line.
Unless it's a waterfall.
But even then, it will follow the rocks. And
true, rocks
aren't all square. Don't get like rocks in a complete cube shape.
Yeah, true. Unless you're playing Minecraft. Right.
Right.
Sorry, which you don't. Never mind. You know what I'm talking about, listeners. Right. So, So try and avoid the straight line, sort of nice flowing, sort of gentle pathways.
Yep. And if you're designing a garden, you want to have a kind of Chinese style and you're using your feng shui, you would design it so that you could stroll along, not in a straight line, like maybe winding paths.
Mm.
And then take in little views here and there.
Okay.
So each time you turn a corner, there's something new.
Oh, right.
And you wouldn't block it with lots of dense shrubs. You'd have, like, branches that you can see through.
Oh,
kind
nice.
Kind of have a, like...
So it almost, like, frames the picture.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yep.
Oh, how cool.
And some elements of the Chinese garden, if you're thinking of, like, we'll give you some ideas of what to put in them. So things like plants like bamboo, must.
Okay, yeah.
And lots of rocks.
The bamboo, is that just because it's like originates from China or is it because it has sort of those aesthetic properties where it like, you know, when the wind blows and you can hear it sort of banging against each other? And
so it does have that symbolism and you can use it to make chopsticks.
But,
Bamboo is...
various other things.
Bamboo is very resilient, but it also can be invasive.
Yeah.
So I've warned you, if you are going to plant it, to plant a clumping kind rather than a running kind. Otherwise, you may never get rid of it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Or
so I didn't realise there were... of course, there would be on God's planet an array of... bamboos.
Yeah.
So you can get ones that produce runners and others that don't. Okay. Good. I didn't know that. I always just thought, oh my gosh, bamboo, it just takes over. But
you can get the non-invasive kind.
Right.
And another thing that Chinese gardens do have are, rocks, which are very symbolic. And so what the tradition is that the Chinese try to recreate some of the landscapes, the natural landscape in their countryside or their wilderness because they thought that they were the homes of the immortals. And there's all these huge rock forms in a place called Guilin that they just rise out of the rivers.
Really?
With like mist surrounding them and trees
grow
on
cool.
them. And so people want to recreate that as like a miniature landscape in their gardens.
Wow.
To bring nature back into, close to them.
Right. So these huge formations that just kind of pop up out of the water?
Yeah.
Are they naturally formed?
Yeah, they're natural.
Wow.
So they're huge, but in a garden, of course, you can't have that.
Yeah.
But you can recreate it.
Is that where you see those Chinese gardens, you get those pebbles where they put them like up on top of each
stones
other and stuff?
And then, a lot of... So if you go to, like, the Botanic Gardens in Dunedin... No, actually, they have their own separate Chinese garden down there. And there's one in Hamilton as
well.
Yes,
I've seen that one. Yeah.
So if you go there, you have an idea of what an original Chinese garden looks like.
Oh, that's very interesting, Selena.
So, bamboo, rocks, and also a water feature with, like, a pond with goldfish in it. That's very important.
With the koi.
Yes. The koi fish.
They can get out of hand, though, those koi.
Oh, dear.
We had a few in our pond when I was a child, and they started actually getting quite huge and quite deformed. Rather hideous to look at, actually. I don't know, maybe Dad applied too many phosphates at that point. Uh-oh. I'm not sure, being on a farm and all. Maybe something happened there and they transformed into something. But, they can get quite big, though.
So the whole idea of having a water in your garden is for contemplation and reflection.
Yes.
So.
And would it be acceptable to skim some rocks across that water? If one so wished, is that going to destroy my yang?
Oh, I don't know. It might contribute to the ambience. I don't know.
Very interesting. I'll have to have a look at my own backyard and see if there's anything I can do. I can definitely tell you there's definitely not that many straight lines. I just got rid of them.
You're on a foot of a
slope. Just because I didn't. They were too hard to weed around and manage.
Yes.
I couldn't, they're time consuming. So, they went. Yeah. But it looks nicer too. There's enough straight lines out there. Okay, cool. So, what about colour? Is there anything that they work with in Feng Shui?
Well, because it's a natural garden, they're kind of going for the greenery. So colour is used as like accents.
Yeah. Because I found that colour was used according to the five elements theory, which by that stage I didn't delve too deeply into because my brain had swollen far too much. But I'll give you a for instance, fire energy in the south, not quite, you might have to explain what that means exactly, but if you want to create that sort of energy in the south, you can do so with red or purple flower colours.
Okay.
That was a recommendation on it. I think I found it on stuff.co.nz. They did an article on Feng Shui.
Yeah.
So there's
a lot of symbolism and...
Yeah, can you tell us a bit about that? I think we're talking about the... what was that called again? The Bugwa?
The Bugwa.
Bugwa?
Yep.
The Bagua, the eight symbols.
Yep.
Did you want to touch on that? Or I can. I wrote a brief paragraph on that. Don't know if you can briefly. So it's where they sort of start bringing in, that's where they bring in the five elements. In case your listeners aren't sure what we mean by that, five elements meaning water, wood, fire, earth, metal. Did I get them all? Water, wood, yeah. No, I feel like I've missed one.
Water, wood,
fire. Yeah, that's right. That's
earth,
fire.
And metal. They kind of work in concert with each other.
Mm.
But then in other circles they can counteract each
other. So you got to get it right. So it kind of...
You got to get the harmony right in your garden.
You don't want disharmony.
But that's the whole idea.
That could be a problem for your chi. So the Bagua, eight symbols used in the Taoist cosmology. And they represent the fundamental principles of reality. My goodness, this is philosophical. Each line is either broken or unbroken, representing yin or yang. So the yin-yang keeps coming back.
Well, Karen, for listeners, I think they might think, what are we talking about? Because they can't see that. So we might just leave it there.
Yeah. It's also around the compass, northwest. So you have to imagine your garden as a map as well. I just wanted to bring that in to just...
Bringing it back to the compass. That's really important.
And those eight things. So you've got your, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, north, south, west, east, and then you've got your ones in between, and they make up the eight
points of the compass.
Yeah, yeah.
So for those listeners out
there... It took me about 10 minutes to get my head around like that. I was like, isn't there just four? What are they on about? Yeah, okay.
If you're planning a garden, the first thing you would do is check out where north is, right?
Mm.
Because that's where the sun is coming from.
Yeah.
And then you would check the prevailing winds. So your garden is quite sheltered. That's really good.
Prevailing as in the where they are coming from or where they are going to?
Coming from. So the northwester is probably the worst.
Okay.
Or the,
in Auckland?
I mean,
northwester?
Northwester?
Yeah, I think so. We don't get that many southerlies.
Yeah. If you go further down south.
Otherwise, as Aucklanders, we'll be complaining all the time. Yeah.
And the ideal of feng shui is that you, in the Northern Hemisphere in China, you face south because that's where the sun is coming from there. And as we're in the Southern Hemisphere, it's reversed.
Yes, that's right.
So that's why I think it is a little bit confusing for people. But you would check where the sun is coming from, where the wind is coming from, and also the contour of your land, where your water is coming from.
Okay. Would you advise, if there's any listeners out there quite keen to maybe look into this, to be sure that any research they do is based from a Southern Hemisphere perspective rather than a... Because otherwise you could get everything opposite. And
get everything upside down.
Right, for sure. That's right. Yeah. So, but if you think about those elements, the sun...
The wind, the rain,
the contours and all that, then you can't really go wrong.
Yeah. You're working with what you have.
Yeah.
And if you're not in a place, say most people just have a rectangular plot and it's completely flat and featureless, okay, that might not work so well if you're trying to create a naturalistic garden. But if you don't and you're on a hillside or you've got a bit of feature in your land...
Yeah,
you can use that to create a wonderful garden.
Or you could make your own landscape using features,
rocks.
Get in 10 meters of soil. Make why not? If you can, you can create that space. It is possible.
In Auckland, because we've got so much volcanoes, we've got interesting landscapes to work with.
I reckon it is I've done a little bit of travelling. And I must say that New Zealand, you're right, the contours of our land are, definitely interesting, a pain in the neck to ride a bike on, but and sometimes work with. You know, that's why we have all those restrictions when it comes to development and stuff like that, because we've got this land that is volcanic and hilly.
Yep.
undulating.
Got lots of rivers.
But then with that comes lots of lovely things like all the waterways and things like that. So that's, yeah, makes for an interesting dynamic workspace, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Mm. All right. Well, did you want to add anything else to that, Selena?
We've got some plant symbolism too.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, so we have some plants that come from China that are very revered for their symbolism.
Oh, what are those?
Okay, so a lot of plants do come from China, especially flowering shrubs that we have in our gardens today.
Oh, okay.
So you might have some of these in your garden. So we have peaches, which represent longevity and fertility.
Yes.
Chrysanthemums, which symbolise prosperity.
Yeah.
They're also used to give to people and in funerals.
Okay, right.
Peony, which we can't really grow in Auckland, but it's a beautiful flower, represents wealth and grace.
Mm-hmm.
Bamboo, as we mentioned earlier, is flexibility and resilience.
Mm-hmm.
The water lily means purity and truth.
Mm-hmm.
The cherry tree is spring and youth.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the cherry blossoms.
Nice.
And the plum represents winter.
Okay, so that's a lovely little selection. If we were to go and plant those in our gardens, do we have to plant them in the right spot? Is it important that we get the spot right for the feng shui?
I think for any plant you need to get the spot right.
Mm.
So does
it tie in with, say, the gardener's almanac?
Well, the gardener's almanac. Which one's that one?
Well, I just made that up. But you know what I mean? Like some plants like a partly shady area and, well, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So it would tie in nicely.
I would think, well, I know this is a bit airy-fairy, but you would ask the plant, where do you want to be planted?
Mm.
Where would you like to go?
Yeah.
And usually it kind of tells you, if you're listening close.
Yeah.
I know
what you mean.
If plants want to be, they're known for liking wet spaces, you plant them near the wet.
So, a lot of this sort of goes hand in hand then with it all, which would all make perfect sense, really.
Really, it's location, location, location.
Yeah.
So feng shui, although it initially sounds a bit woo-woo, it actually makes a lot of sense.
Mm,
it's very
totally.
Practical.
I can beginning to see that, and I'm really excited. Like, when I first delved into this topic, I was like, oh, goodness me, this is overwhelming. But you're right, it does make a lot of sense.
So when I started my garden, when I sort of started, well, I inherited a garden from my folks.
Yes.
And I started doing it.
It is your garden, you're doing it.
All these plants are like in straight lines and they're not the plants that I want.
Yeah.
They're in the wrong place. I had to do a lot of moving and shifting to get things just right. And like it had to be sort of not a balance, not symmetrical, like totally symmetrical, but balanced in a way that felt harmonious.
Yeah. But I noticed when I reflect on your garden, because you've used a lot of hedging, or I'm not sure if that's maybe your brother's idea.
Oh, that was my brother's idea.
That's very structured and straight, like quite beautiful in the way that he's managing it.
Yeah.
Is that, so you've got those straight edges.
Yeah.
I think it works well. I like your garden.
Oh,
why not, you know? And when you even think about, like, you know how we say, oh, nature doesn't have straight lines. Well, you look how straight a tree is sometimes.
Mm-hmm, true.
Or the stalk of a flower, you know?
Another thing about Chinese gardens, they don't have lawns.
Ah.
They might have gravel or rocks or...
Right.
Sand? Moss. Well, that would be the best.
What about a chamomile lawn?
That's very English.
Mm.
But they have mondo grass and things like that. We're going into Japanese garden territory, which is a whole other topic.
Well, that's right. We'll leave that for another day,
okay.
That one. Did you want to throw in that song that you were talking about earlier, Selena?
Well, throw it in.
Okay, let's give the listeners a break and then we'll come back to Plant of the Week.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Strange white moon at my open window. There's a heat on the breeze tonight. I see the lights of the hotel burning the trees. And I feel love is burning in me. I am caught in the stranger, the tropical rainstorm. Out there between green and blue. And it's telling me that you're so hard to forget. I'm a traveler just passing through.
Wasn't that a lovely... So what was that song called, Selena?
Asian Paradise.
Asian Paradise.
By When the Cat's Away.
Lovely. So plant of the week, magnolias. Please tell us about this plant, Selena.
Oh, it's a beautiful, wonderful tree. The magnolia means wealth or contentment or beauty in Chinese symbolism.
Ooh.
And it's one of the oldest flowers in the plant world. Coming after the dinosaur age, apparently. Wow. It's named after Pierre Magnol, who was the director of the Montpellier Botanic Gardens.
Okay.
Which was named about 200 years ago. And so this magnolia, if you've never seen one, you've got to go out and see
I'm
them.
I'm sure I would have seen one.
Yes.
I'm just bad with, like, names.
Beautiful tree.
Yeah.
And in coming into spring, they flower with no leaves, but beautiful, gorgeous tulip-like flowers.
Oh, yeah. Are they like a purpley?
Yes, they can come in pink, purple, or white.
Right, yeah. I know the one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Beautiful. So these are wonderful trees to plant in your garden. Some you can get small ones that are called the Magnolia stellata.
Okay.
But you can also get the big ones with the massive flowers.
Are the flowers a bit smaller on the, was it stigmata?
Stellata. They're kind of more starry shaped.
Okay.
Then you can also, these ones are deciduous, but you can also get the evergreen magnolias, the ones that are popular in America.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of Steel Magnolias, the movie?
Yes.
Yeah, those types of magnolias that are evergreen.
Oh.
And they have a beautiful white flower.
Oh, well, in America.
They're from America.
Oh, okay. But they'll grow anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're very hardy. They love acid type soil, so don't give them lime.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Give them plenty of lemon juice.
Or pine needles as mulch.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Plant them in a sheltered spot and they tolerate clay. And they're just a gorgeous, wonderful tree.
Wonderful. Thanks for sharing that, Selena.
All right. So that's all we have time for.
Okay.
But it's wonderful to think about the Chinese style of gardening.
That was most interesting. Thanks for sharing, Selena. And if listeners, if you have any questions or any topics you want us to explore, please let us know.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.